Hello and welcome to our program, Money Matters, brought to you by Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Deb Parsons, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from Kiplinger Magazine here on Owl Radio. Starting off today is an interview with James Stack, and the article is titled, October is a Spooky Month for Stocks. The risk now is a surprise shift to tighter monetary policy by the Federal Reserve. James Stack is a market historian, investment advisor, and president of InvestTech Research, an investment newsletter with its home on the shores of Whitefish Lake, Montana, a world away from Wall Street. After October stock market crashes in 1929 and 1987, and the October 2008 meltdown during the financial crisis, Wall Street gets the jitters this time of year. Why do past Shocktobers still cause fear? I also recall 1978 and 1979 having October mini crashettes. But it was Black Monday in 1987 when the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 23% that cemented October's reputation as a bad month for investors. Ever since then, whenever October nears, it brings back fears. Can fear make things worse? Psychology plays a big role in sudden and more severe corrections. It goes back to the saying from boxer Mike Tyson, "Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the nose." Every novice investor is buy and hold through thick and thin until the market starts falling more than they thought. What makes October so treacherous? The summer months heading into October tend to be low volatility months, which often is a precursor to higher volatility. The lull creates a sense of complacency for investors who expect the market only to go up. When it starts going down and drops more than 10%, you end up with an unusually large number of investors suddenly heading for the exit. It has been a quiet year on Wall Street. Should investors be worried? The largest pullback for the S&P 500 this year has been 4.2%. And there have been only three other years with drawdowns of 4.2% or less in the past 70 years. The average intra-year drop is 13.5%. It would be logical to anticipate a larger correction at some point between now and year-end, particularly with high valuations and a high degree of exuberance and public participation. But it doesn't necessarily mean a crash is coming. Do past crashes have things in common? Yes. Prior to crashes in October 1929 and 1987, you had very hostile monetary climates. Interest rates were rising rapidly. In the 90 days prior to Black Monday in 1987, rates went up 1.5 percentage points. We don't have a hostile monetary climate now, although we could see the Fed take its foot off the gas in coming months. We wouldn't have to see much of a change in Fed policy to create a bearish climate. Are you more worried about a Fed misstep, COVID-19, or high stock valuations? I doubt that the residual effects of COVID are going to be severe enough to cause a market panic or crash. And overvaluation doesn't cause a bear market, but it does raise the risks that when a bear does start, it can become a larger one. So, are rising rates the main threat? That's the one dark cloud. It worries me because nobody expects it. The Fed said it won't start raising rates until 2023. But if the Fed is backed into a corner by inflation pressures and starts talking about raising rates by year-end, it could create havoc on Wall Street. The stock market's dependence on today's record low rates makes it the most interest rate-sensitive market in history. Monetary policy is the wild card, and by far the greatest risk. What should investors do? I'd keep more dry powder as we go through a seasonably unfavorable period, and I'd look at November or December as a time to add to positions. This article was written by Adam Schell. Next up, open enrollment. New perks at work for a price. When employees sign up for open enrollment this fall, many will see an expanded menu of benefits, ranging from pet insurance to legal services. A survey by consulting firm Willis Towers Watson found that 94% of employers believe that voluntary benefits, which typically aren't subsidized but are offered to workers at a group rate discount, are important to their employees, up from 36% in 2018. Lydia Gillick, Senior Director of Voluntary Benefits Solutions at Willis Towers Watson, says the pandemic and an increasingly diverse workforce have accelerated calls for benefits that meet employees' differing needs. And faced with a labor shortage, employers are feeling pressure to offer benefits that will attract and retain employees. Voluntary benefits appeal to employers because they're able to give their employees significantly more choice than they may have otherwise, but there is a limited out-of-pocket cost, Gillick says. Among the fastest-growing voluntary benefits are those that protect workers against criminals seeking to steal their personal information, Gillick says. Driven by a rise in unemployment fraud, 78% of employers surveyed will offer identity theft protection by 2022, up from 53% currently offering the benefit. Other high-growth offerings include pet insurance, legal benefits, and critical illness coverage, which provides supplemental health insurance following, for example, a heart attack or cancer diagnosis. This article was written by Michael Korsch. This article is under retirement. Spend without worry. Fears of running out of money prevent many retirees from tapping the nest egg they've worked a lifetime to save. With these strategies, you can generate enough income to pursue your retirement dreams. The Irish poet and playwright Oscar Wilde once said that it's better to have a permanent income than to be fascinating, a sentiment many retirees undoubtedly share. Unfortunately, the decline of traditional pensions in favor of 401k plans and other defined contribution plans has forced many retirees to figure out how to make a lump sum out of money, sometimes a very large lump sum, last as long as they do. A growing body of research suggests that many retirees have responded to this challenge by withdrawing far less than they can afford to spend, based on the amount they've saved and their average life expectancy. Research by the Employee Benefit Research Institute found that people with $500,000 or more in savings at retirement spent down less than 12% of their assets over 20 years. Michael Finke, a professor of retirement at the American College of Financial Services, says research he conducted found that 80% of retirees are uncomfortable watching their nest egg get smaller. To an economist, that's a mystery, he says. Why did you save in the first place? Foregoing meaningful activities isn't without cost, says Glenn Franklin, director of customer research for Jackson National Life Insurance. Although you don't necessarily need to go on an around-the-world cruise, he says, hobbies, travel, and other activities that involve family and friends, and often increase spending, has been shown to reduce your risk of cognitive decline. You live longer if you have purpose in life, and purpose isn't free, he says. Still, the fear of running out of money is powerful and could be exacerbated by the recent increase in the inflation rate. While many economists believe the recent spike in prices is temporary, anyone who lived through the 1970s knows how devastating inflation can be, especially if you're living on a fixed income. In fact, according to a recent Kiplinger Personal Capital poll of retirees and near retirees, 77% are worried about the effect of inflation on their financial security. Fortunately, you can take steps that will help you pursue your retirement dreams without jeopardizing your retirement security. And as a bonus, some of these strategies will help you stay ahead of inflation too. Bending the 4% rule. If you're retired or approaching retirement, you've probably heard of the 4% rule, which was developed by William Bengen, an MIT graduate in aeronautics and astronautics, who later became a certified financial planner. Here's how it works. In the first year of retirement, withdraw 4% from your IRAs, 401ks, and other tax-deferred accounts, which is where most workers hold their retirement savings. For every year after that, increase the dollar amount of your annual withdrawal by the previous year's inflation rate. For example, if you have a $1 million nest egg, you would withdraw $40,000 the first year of retirement. If inflation that year is 2%, in the second year of retirement, you would boost your withdrawal to $40,800. The 4% rule is designed to ensure you won't outlive your savings, and it has withstood the test of time. But Bengen acknowledges that a prolonged period of high inflation could threaten his formula. and supporters of the 4% rule also point out that it's a guideline, not a mandate, and may need to be adjusted to 3.5%, for example, during down years in the market. The downside to the rule is that it doesn't account for the fact that your spending habits and expenses will change over time. Many retirees spend more money in the early years of retirement, when they're healthy enough to travel and pursue other activities, then cut back in their 70s and 80s. If you'd prefer a withdrawal plan that more closely adheres to your retirement lifestyle, consider creating a retirement timeline of your income and expenses. This exercise will help you determine how much you need to withdraw from your savings each year to close the gap, says Dana Ansbeck, a CFP and founder of Sensible Money in Scottsdale, Arizona. You can do this exercise on an Excel or Google Sheets spreadsheet. Once you've filled out your spreadsheet, you can calculate the gap between your guaranteed income and expenses, which will help you determine how much money you need to withdraw from your savings each year. If your income exceeds your expenses, you can add some of that money to your savings or increase your discretionary spending. This exercise allows you to make adjustments as your circumstances change. For example, if you pay off your mortgage a few years into retirement, you can subtract that cost from the housing column in your expense timeline. You can also use your timeline to determine whether you can afford to delay filing for Social Security. You may need professional help or a retirement software program to get the most out of this strategy because you'll need to project your investment returns as well as taxes. A planner can help you avoid projecting overly optimistic investment returns or underestimating your taxes. You can find a CFP who specializes in retirement at www.letsmakeaplan.org. Ansbeck says about 75% of retirees she has worked with are pleasantly surprised to learn that they won't run out of money in retirement. And even those who learn that their savings may fall short can use that information to make needed changes, such as downsizing or working longer, she says. Another advantage to this strategy is that it will help you deploy what's known as the bucket system without putting too much money in low-interest accounts. With this strategy, you divide your savings among three accounts, or buckets. The first is a liquid account designed to cover living expenses for the next year or two after accounting for a pension or annuity, if you have one, and Social Security. The second bucket holds money you'll need over the next 10 years. It can be invested in short and immediate-term bond funds. The third bucket holds money you won't need until much later, so it can be reinvested in stocks or even alternative investments, such as real estate or commodities. Most financial planners recommend investing the first bucket in ultra-safe investments, such as bank savings accounts and money market funds. That way, you won't have to sell stocks or funds in a market downturn to pay the bills. If you're worried about a stock market downturn, or you fear you'll run out of money, it's tempting to put more than 2 years' worth of expenses in your cash bucket or overestimate how much you'll spend in 2 years. But unless you have enough money to launch your own spaceflight, stashing too much of your portfolio in cash accounts will increase the risk that you'll run out of money in retirement. Because interest on those accounts is near zero, money invested in cash won't keep up with inflation, a particular concern now when inflation is rising, and will depress the returns of your overall portfolio. Invest in an annuity. Annuities come in many flavors with varying degrees of complexity, but most offer a way to convert your investment into a monthly check, either now or sometime in the future, for as long as you live. If you own an annuity that covers your basic expenses, you may feel more comfortable spending money in your savings. There are two problems with annuities in the current market. First, payouts for single premium immediate annuities, which typically provide monthly payments in exchange for a lump sum investment, are tied to rates for 10-year treasuries. Although the Federal Reserve Board has signaled that it may raise long-term rates as early as 2023, those rates are currently at historic lows. That means you'll have to pay more for an annuity to generate a given amount of income than you would if rates were higher. Advocates of annuitizing a portion of your savings argue that even under these circumstances, annuities provide a layer of security you can't find anywhere else. Annuities also provide better returns than fixed income investments, which have seen their yields pummeled by low interest rates, says David Lau, founder and chief executive officer of DPL Financial Partners, which distributes annuities and life insurance to financial planners. When you buy an annuity, the insurance company pools your money with that of other investors, and funds from investors who die earlier than expected are paid out to those who live longer. These mortality credits allow insurance companies to provide a higher yield than you'd get from fixed income investments, Lau says. The second problem is that if the recent increase in inflation is more than a temporary phenomenon, rising prices will erode the value of your monthly payments. You can buy an annuity with an inflation rider, but it will lower your initial payout by about 26%. One way around this problem is to invest in an annuity that links your returns to a specific index, such as the S&P 500. Examples range from fixed index annuities, which limit how much you could earn but protect you from losses, to buffered annuities, also known as registered index-linked annuities, which offer the potential for higher returns, but don't protect you from losses, although there's a limit on how much you can lose. These types of annuities are complex and are sometimes loaded with high upfront commissions that will dampen your returns. In recent years, though, companies such as DPL Financial Partners have developed commission-free indexed annuities. Because the annuities don't have a commission, certified financial planners can offer them without running afoul of the fiduciary rule, which requires CFPs to put their clients' interests above their own. Lau notes that even investing in a plain vanilla immediate annuity provides a way to increase your exposure to stocks, which offers one of the most effective ways to stay ahead of inflation. If you have an annuity that covers your basic expenses, you don't have to worry about selling stocks in a down market to pay the bills. If long-term interest rates eventually move higher, payouts from an immediate annuity will increase, so you may want to delay making an investment. But if you'd like to start your income stream now, consider creating an annuity ladder. Instead of investing the entire amount you want to annuitize at once, spread your investments over several years. For example, if you want to invest $200,000, you would buy an annuity for $50,000 this year and invest another $50,000 every 2 years until you have spent the entire amount. Payouts are higher if you buy an annuity when you're older, and if interest rates rise, you'll be able to take advantage of them. Many retirees are reluctant to buy annuities because in exchange for guaranteed income, you must give an insurance company a large sum of money that you usually can't get back. One less costly alternative is a deferred income annuity, which provides guaranteed payments when you reach a certain age. For example, a 65-year-old man who invests $100,000 in a deferred annuity that starts payments when he turns 80 would receive about $1,568 a month, according to ImmediateAnnuities.com, compared with $485 a month if he were to start payments immediately. Deferred income annuities offer some tax advantages too, which we'll discuss later. Although deferred income annuities are among the least expensive types you can buy, Lau says they are often a hard sell because retirees worry that they'll die before payments begin. One way to get over this hurdle is to view a deferred income annuity as longevity insurance, a guarantee that even if you live to be 103, you won't run out of money. And if you know you'll start getting guaranteed monthly payments in your 80s, you may feel more comfortable spending money when you're in your 60s. Delay filing for Social Security. If you're concerned that inflation will erode your retirement savings, one of the most effective steps you can take is to delay claiming Social Security benefits. Here's why. Unlike just about any other slice of your retirement portfolio pie, Social Security receives an automatic cost of living adjustment every year. Because of recent increases in consumer prices, the Social Security COLA could rise as much as 6.3% in 2022, the largest increase since 1982. In addition to the annual COLA adjustment, you'll get an 8% credit for each year you delay claiming benefits from full retirement age, or FRA, to age 70. Your FRA is age 66 if you were born between 1943 and 1954. It gradually rises to 67 for younger people. That makes it one of the lowest risk investments out there, says Rianne Horgan, a former managing director at JP Morgan and founder of Silver, spelled S-I-L-V-U-R, a retirement planning app for people older than 50. Because of the delayed retirement credits, there's a powerful argument for postponing benefits even if inflation is zero, says Harold Avensky, a certified financial planner and chairman of Avensky & Katz Folds Financial. When inflation is rising, delaying benefits is even more advantageous because cost of living adjustments start increasing your benefits at age 62, even if you don't claim them. If you can afford to wait until age 70 to claim, you'll get a double benefit: the annual 8% delayed retirement credits plus the compounded increase from each year's cost of living adjustment, when there is one. The more you defer, the more money you have that's inflation adjusted, says Jamie Hapkins, managing partner for Carson Group, a wealth management firm. Advocates for seniors say the annual Social Security COLA is inadequate because it fails to reflect the disproportionate amount seniors spend on healthcare, which typically rises faster than the overall inflation rate. Even with that caveat, you'd have to look long and hard to find an affordable investment that provides an equivalent cost of living increase. The promise of higher Social Security benefits after age 70 could provide you with the confidence to spend funds from your IRAs and other sources during your early years of retirement. And even if you're convinced you won't live past your break-even age, the point in which you would come ahead by delaying Social Security benefits, about 79 for most people, postponing your claim could provide protections for your spouse, especially if he or she is the lower earner. A surviving spouse who has at least full retirement age can receive 100% of the deceased spouse's benefit, so delaying benefits will increase the amount of money your spouse will receive after you're gone. Lower taxes on your savings. When calculating your retirement budget, it is critical to include an expense line for taxes because a significant portion of your retirement savings will go to Uncle Sam. If most of your savings is in tax-deferred accounts, such as IRAs and former employers' 401k plans, taxes could consume more than one-third of your withdrawals. Even if you don't need the money, you must start required minimum distributions from your tax-deferred accounts when you turn 72. These RMDs will be based on the total amount of money you have in all of your accounts at the end of the year, divided by a factor from IRS life expectancy tables. The withdrawals will be taxed at your ordinary income tax rate. They could also trigger higher taxes on your Social Security benefits and higher Medicare premiums. Legislation pending in Congress would change the age for taking required minimum distributions from 72 to 73 on January 1, 2022, and gradually increase the RMD age to 75 by 2032. But while some seniors may welcome more time for their investments to grow, delaying RMDs won't necessarily lower your tax bill. That's because the eventual RMDs will be based on a larger balance, which increases the size of your taxable withdrawals and could push you into a higher tax bracket. For that reason, some financial planners recommend taking withdrawals from your tax-deferred accounts well before RMDs kick in. By taking carefully curated withdrawals early in retirement, you'll reduce the balance when you start taking RMDs, resulting in a smaller tax bill. You can use the money to pay some of your living expenses, which will allow you to delay filing for Social Security. Other strategies to lower your RMDs: convert some of your IRAs or other tax-deferred accounts to a Roth IRA. You'll have to pay federal and state taxes on any amount you convert, but once money is in a Roth, withdrawals are tax-free, and Roths aren't subject to RMDs. If you leave a Roth IRA to your children, they'll be required to withdraw the money in 10 years, but they won't pay taxes on the distributions. Buy a deferred income annuity. You can invest up to 25% of your IRA or 401k account, or $130,000, whichever is less, in a type of longevity annuity known as a Qualified Longevity Annuity Contract, QLAC, without having to take required minimum distributions when you turn 72. You won't avoid taxes on the money forever. The taxable portion of the money you use will still be taxed when you start receiving income from the annuity, but the tax bite will be delayed if you postpone receiving income from the QLAC until you're in your mid-70s or 80s. Donate some of your IRA to charity. Retirees who are 70 and a half or older can donate up to $100,000 a year from their IRAs to charity. A qualified charitable distribution, or QCD, can count towards your required minimum distribution. A QCD isn't deductible, but it will reduce your adjusted gross income, AGI, which can lower your taxes on items tied to your adjusted gross income, such as Social Security benefits and Medicare premiums. You can't make a QCD to a donor-advised fund or private foundation, so make sure the charity is eligible before you transfer the funds. Dates to mark on your calendar for October 2021. Friday, October 1st. The free application for federal student aid for the 2022-23 school year should be released today. You have until June 30th, 2023, to submit the form for federal aid, but consider filling it out as soon as possible. Some states and schools award money on a first-come, first-served basis or have deadlines earlier than the federal deadline. Friday, October 15th. Medicare open enrollment starts today. Medicare Advantage or Part D prescription drug plan participants who aren't happy with the changes in their annual notice of change have until December 7th to shop for a new plan. Advantage enrollees can switch to Original Medicare and vice versa. Tuesday, October 19th. Today marks the 34th anniversary of the 1987 stock market crash, when the Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeted nearly 23%. Historically, October is known for unsettling stock market downturns. Thursday, October 21st. Get Smart About Credit Day is a good day to review your credit reports. The three major credit bureaus, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, are offering free weekly credit reports through April 20th, 2022 at www.annualcreditreport.com. Deal of the month. With the height of grilling season over, retailers are interested in clearing their shelves for fall and winter inventory. Labor Day sales may have reduced the selection, but if you're not picky, you can get a good discount on an outdoor cooker, says Julie Ramhold, consumer analyst with DealNews.com. You have been listening to Money Matters on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Deb Parsons saying goodbye from Owl Radio.